Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast, where editors of Managed Healthcare Executive chat with healthcare executives in the C-Suite and professionals. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery, organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Hi everyone, my name is Brianna Contreras and I'm editor of Managed Healthcare Executive. In this episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite, I spoke with Jason Worrellman, Global Director of Healthcare and Life Sciences at UiPath. In our discussion, Jason addressed the incline of automation in healthcare, why it's necessary for patients and providers, and how other healthcare organizations can easily overcome the challenges of adopting automation in their healthcare system. Hi, Jason. How you doing today?
Hi, Brianna. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for taking the time today. So first off, just to get started, if you can just tell our listeners about your role at UiPath and the mission of the organization.
Sure. My name is Jason Worrellman. I lead our global healthcare and life sciences industry practice here at UiPath. I've been fortunate to lead this practice since 2018. So we've been really striving for the last 2 or 3 years to bring automation to the world of healthcare. Of course, you know, healthcare is kind of ambiguous globally. What does that mean? Within our sector, because we are a technology software company, healthcare providers, payers, health IT, little AI companies who are trying to bring better value and quality care to health organizations, they're my customers too. If the end customer services a patient or a member, we are their partner from day one.
Awesome, great. So to kind of just jump into the next question, can you discuss the use of automation among healthcare providers and its incline in the last few years?
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing how technology really spurs in the face of something like the pandemic. Prior to the pandemic, a report out from McKinsey said at the time in 2018, about 43% of a healthcare's operational practice has high automation potential. But there was really no real drive to do it because at the time, healthcare system was really trying to optimize their business as much as possible. During the pandemic, we saw a shift. It moved from 43% opportunity with less than 20% looking at automation to McKinsey coming out with a report saying in 2020 that 60% of healthcare CFOs planned on making an investment in automation over the next 3 years. And their projections are really spot on. Actually, 60% is a smaller number to what we've seen. And, automation is applicable across the enterprise. A lot of businesses look at it just maybe in denial management. Some of them might just look at it in supply chain. Those are two prime areas that we see a lot of opportunity and we see a lot of our business in today, but we also see it in IT. We see it in HR, especially now with workforce constraints. We see it in areas like finance. We see it in the lab. We see it in radiology and especially clinical areas where our physicians are going through burnout right now and spending those extra 2 to 3 hours to pick up the slack of the administration that unfortunately is no longer with them. So we're seeing an order of anywhere between 1,000 to 2,000 prime use cases coming out in the first 2 years within these health systems when they're using our platform.
Great. So what does UiPath's operation of supporting automation services to healthcare's facilities consist of?
So UiPath is a software company. We make the products that enable organizations to build a robust automation platform. So if you think about platforms inside an organization, it tends to be what we like to call the Frankenstack. And of course, especially our US healthcare systems rely on the EMR to really centralize patient care. But in the back office, you have ERPs to centralize order management and the finance functions. Think of our platform as a sideway platform to that, where I've got a platform for all my CRM, I've got a platform for all my order management, I've got a platform for my patient care. We're the platform for automation, and we stitch all these processes together between those applications. So from us, we deliver that software and we support them through that life cycle. Like any technology, the day that they implemented that EMR, it just didn't drop in and work naturally. So from day one of making a decision, do I need to really drive automation to meet my goals? To, the last mile, which is I really want to do some really neat advanced stuff with this product. How can I achieve this in my technology stack? So we really provide that. And it could be across big topics of transformation, patient access, patient collections, reimbursement. We see a lot in the denial management area, the reimbursement area, especially prior authorization right now. And of course, stitching those systems together for patient outreach. A lot of new roles have come out of COVID. I mean, a lot of organizations now have telehealth coordinators that help people understand how to use the telehealth platform before they pick up that call. I think Medicaid just came out and said that 60% of Medicare, Medicaid patients don't attend their virtual health visit because of educational issues with the telehealth platform. What do? They pick up the phone. In every other industry, that would have been automated. So there's a lot of new potential here in healthcare.
For sure, for sure. Thank you. And on prior to the previous question, your answer, you mentioned a lot of employee burnout. So if we could kind of focus more back on that again, how is automation how are those services helping burnout, staff burnout or staff decline?
So, a couple different facets, right? There is just reducing the abrasion of work. If you're a clinician, you probably know the sense of what's called an in-basket, right? It doesn't matter what EMR is, you're getting a lot of tasks coming in every day. So, the great thing about automation and like a platform that I represent is it's low code. The business can stand it up, they can build it, it's compliant, it works with all the systems. So you could easily create these engagement layered automations where I'm using it almost like a digital assistant. So if it takes me 300 clicks to process a referral order for Jason Warlman, if I could get it down to 2 clicks and let the robot do the other 298, that's what I'm going to do. So that immediately starts taking the pressure and the abrasion off of the physician. But across the business, there's a lot of opportunities where there's just a lot of processes we don't have people, right? Doing that supply chain order management to make sure the PPE is coming at time, right? Being able to process W-9s and onboarding patients and setting them up in the EMR so people don't have to work over the weekend. Those things are what we like to say automagical, right? Where automation is just running naturally on a server and no one realizes it's happening. It's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week digital employee, reducing that avoidance cost that hospital systems tend to see, especially right now.
Okay, great. And this might be a bit more repetitive, but could dig deeper. So why is automation, why is it necessary in healthcare, and what issues is it solving or improving?
So, loaded question, right?
Right.
A recent report said, there's about a $265 billion administrative cost out there right now, right? I mean, this number doesn't surprise anybody. I think most people, the B is actually the B of billion should, feel like it should be more like a T in trillion. That's about a $265 billion right now. More than 40% of that administrative cost are just repeatable standardized processes. Now, I don't want to make it sound like automation should only be for repeatable standardized processes, but that's really where it shines the most. We call that low-hanging fruits, right? If there's a standard way of doing a piece of work and it's done on a computer system, you can automate it. So 40% of that is standardized enough to automate. This is where it really meets into healthcare because it really applies to every asset of the business to reduce that administrative cost. That could be labor cost. Again, I'm not necessarily saying we replace people. It's cost avoidance, the people we don't have yet. We have a shortage here, a big shortage. It also reduces the cost of technical debt. Most hospital systems have 300 to 400 different applications. Most of them are middleware. automation takes care of that cost in the millions. And it also optimizes the clinical technologies we use, like EMRs, EHRs, PAC systems. They're not very well integrated. We're coming into the world of open APIs and FHIR standards and interoperability. These are all great things that we want to happen, but healthcare isn't really well known for adopting technologies on day one. We're about 10 years behind everyone else. So they're finding that automation is a quick way of bridging that gap to adoption and getting the efficiencies they need. And that's just the cost side. Think about quality. You know, robots tend not to make mistakes as much as people, you know I make a lot of mistakes. I use robots a lot so I could take the risk out of the work that I do,
right?
Quality reporting, cycle time, right? There's a lot that we do that is very time sensitive, especially during COVID with regulatory reporting, COVID reports, PPE allocations, all these things had to be reported on a 2 to 3 hour cycle every day. I think people wonder how organizations were able to meet that need, and they used automation heavily to drive that. So there's a lot of quality aspects that automation brings into healthcare, which I think is very important today.
Great. Now to kind of go on the other side of the spectrum, you know, outside of how it's benefiting, hospital systems and employees and a lot of telehealth services, so to say. Mm-hmm. How's it assisting patients? I know like scheduling appointments, that's an example, but if you can dig further into that.
Yeah, what's great is it really helps that experience in the front line. You know, I talk with a lot of systems and they say, I wanna improve my omni-channel experience. I wanna give the patient one place to go, but then it be able to allow me to drive messaging through text, messaging through email, messaging through web server, right? Customers like to access their health providers in a couple of different ways. So where automation is being used is helping to centralize those experiences for the patient. They might not know that they're using it because they have a front end display. It could be a web page, right? It could be an app on your phone. But on the health provider side, it's robots doing that interoperability play, syncing those systems together, creating that unilateral experience so that we can provide care real time. There's actually a really good story that we have a health system out of Dublin, Ireland. They actually use automation with a patient access system, SwiftQ, across the whole country to do patient access. The customer or the patient in this scenario, they just use this really cool front end web face that gives them time to schedule appointments, kind of like Epic has my charts. The thing that they don't see is it's UiPath on the back end negotiating all these different products and systems to collaborate and coordinate that care. This way, health systems don't have to make massive investments in new technology. It's fully composable from day one at a very low cost, at a very fast run rate, which right now I think everyone needs.
Right. Thank you. Now, this will kind of tie into that previous question. So does automation create a more patient, physician-engaged environment, like a better one, or even more of like a patient-centric environment, and how?
Yeah, absolutely. And we spend a lot of time on this. Again, when you look at process optimization, everyone wants to run to where the productivity gains are. It makes sense, right? I want to shave off time. I want to save people time. We are very focused on finding that holy balance of patient experience and physician balance. I'm actually working with a very large hospital system who is doing a pre-check-ins for gaps in care, where they have, almost hundreds of clinicians every night doing pre-check-in for gaps, for pre-visits that the physician is going to conduct the next day with the patient. Have you ever been sitting in a room with a provider and they're clicking on the computer as they're asking you questions? They're closing the gaps in your care for a number of reasons. It could be for ACO requirements, could be supersets for the state, depends on your insurance and what care management you're going through. So they're automating that process. That way every night that checklist is done and the physician just gets the outcome, which is what's left open, What do I need to talk to Jason about to make this a proactive visit? Those sort of things of saving that time and providing just the insights that the physician needs to take care of a patient like you and I is really where that experience comes to play. And of course, there's other opportunities in the ICU, in radiology, where these charge nurses and ICU attendants are spending a lot of time on the computer to order you a test, to get that IoT device on your finger registered within an organization like Philips. It might take 3 or 4 minutes, but that's them in the room with you staring at a computer and not engaging you as a patient. So we want to take their fingers off that keyboard and have them spend more time with the patient to get you in, cared for, and then of course discharged.
Right, right. Great. And another question I have here, how do more healthcare organizations adopt these tools? You know, what do you recommend? Are there challenges reaching automation among an organization?
Absolutely. Adoption is the hardest part. I always like to say that technology is the easy part. Adoption is the hard part. It's not like a technology, like an ETL, which a lot of people understand that from a data perspective. It's not a conversion suite. It's not middleware. There's a lot of products you guys try to drop into the IT business, and it's just there and you don't realize it's a tool you can leverage. This is a process optimization product. It's literally changing the way a business does work. I mean, I have hospital systems across the world that have actually named their bots and used the bots as a part of their business. They're like, hey, I need to do credit adjustments. Just give it to Dave. Dave's a robot, right? So driving that adoption is really important. So when I talk to health organizations that are thinking, you know, hey, I need to bring in automation to really optimize my business, first I say you need to have a vision. I would never recommend you drop in a tool just because you think you need it. There has to be a strategy. There has to be a transformational element behind it. I want to approach this. You know, reducing cost is great. Everyone wants to do that. But I want to be able to improve experience in radiology. I want to be able to transform my case management system so I can proactively reach out to patients. These are big, heavy rocks that CIO, CTO, and CFO leaders are driving. They need to come with that vision and then realize how does automation fit into that play. That'll give them a roadmap. The next piece is really engage with someone that really knows how to do this. There's now hundreds of healthcare systems that are going through this process. We have hundreds that have a level of maturity that they can actually share. Listen to their stories. They're going to give evidence, recommendations. We will too, but my job is to connect the two together so you're talking. So listen to what they're saying. They're going to give some great advice and give you a great roadmap. And the third piece, and this is the hard piece, if you don't feel that you're culturally ready to staff and build a center of excellence to deliver this improvement, leverage a partner, leverage a consulting organization. We have over 900 consulting organizations that we work with that are delivering automation into healthcare environments, all the way from small acute care to large IDNs to public health agencies. They have the bandwidth, they can absorb the risk, and they can even go at risk for some of your biggest transformation programs. And what's more important, they know our product. So they can come in, they can deliver it, teach you how to fish, which is what they want to do. They take on the more complex stuff. And then you're driving a really well-oiled center of excellence inside your business that can then take on this technology and make improvements across the enterprise.
That's great. Thank you. And that's actually all I had for you, Jason, but if there's anything you'd like to add, you know, that I didn't address that you'd like our listeners to know or hear about.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting, you know, a lot of people look at robotic process automation as one key thing. A lot of people that have been in healthcare a long time have come across robotic automation. It's not a new concept, decades now. I would just encourage the listening audience to do your research, understand the difference between what was there 10 years ago and what's today. The technology is completely different. We always kid that maybe robotic process automation isn't even the industry we should identify ourselves with, because we're not even what it was 10 years ago. There's just not a new three-letter acronym to represent it, right? But realize that it's just not robotic automation. It's also test automation. I start, well, a lot of organizations are right now about their Epic upgrade and the regression testing that's needed. It's document automation. Can I intake hundreds of thousands of documents, even that are attached, categorize them, separate them, quantify them, send them on their way, and even extract all the data and put it directly in my EMR? So it's document automation as well. And it's also business intelligence. We call it process mining. We call it task mining, taking the processes out of the system, looking at them regressively, and then showing you the choke points that might even be a good recommendation for automation, if not process optimization. How many times have you looked at a process and said, this just doesn't seem to work out, something's wrong here? You put a quality person on it, maybe 8 weeks later, they have analysis of what's going wrong. Our tools do this instantaneous. So when you're looking and doing your research on bringing in automation, realize it's just not robots anymore. It's now a whole platform of process improvement technology.
Got it. Great. Thank you. Thank you so much for, again, the time today to go through and explain automation in a more deep way. So again, Jason, I appreciate your time today. And thanks again for joining me.
Thanks, Brianna. Thank you for the chance today. Really appreciate you and the audience.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and follow Managed Healthcare Executive on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit our website at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.